Good evening and welcome to Educationally Speaking on KVMR 89.5. This is the show that explores all things educational in Nevada County Schools. I'm your host, Scott Lay, the Nevada County Superintendent of Schools.
And I'm Kimberly Ewing, a teacher at Seven Hills Middle School in Nevada City. Tonight, we have some pretty cool guests in our studio tonight. We have Saul Henson, the Educational Program Co-Director for Sierra Streams. And we have Aaron Bird from the UC Davis Hub in the studio tonight to talk to us about the new science project for our local schools, which we are so excited about. So welcome, Saul and Aaron, to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. Thanks for coming up. Aaron was up in the area from Davis, which I must say is my alma mater, so I love UC Davis.
Me too.
Yeah, you do, see? Yeah. There we go. But first, to get us started, why don't you give us a little background of both of you, of your roles that you have in Sierra Streams and down at UC Davis. So, Aaron, let me start with you. What do you do down at UC Davis in your capacity?
Thank you, Scott. So I'm an educational researcher with the Center for Community and Citizen Science, which is part of the School of Education at UC Davis. And as part of our research center, I'm learning how young people learn science through engaging in community and citizen science, which we'll talk more about what that is today. So specifically looking at various science learning outcomes, from content knowledge to how students self-identify with roles in science, and also how they see science as a tool for creating change in their communities and in their environment.
Great.
I know, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. And Saul, I think you might be a familiar voice to people here in Nevada County for everything you've done. So why don't you go ahead and again reintroduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, Saul Henson, Education Program Co-Director at Sierra Streams Institute. And Sierra Streams is a watershed-based organization that has been around for about 20 years now. Celebrated that 20-year anniversary not too long ago. And the education program was looking to kind of benefit off of the different restoration and monitoring efforts of the organization. So getting citizens involved in monitoring Deer Creek, started as Friends of Deer Creek, and then have expanded from there. And then also, various restoration projects that are happening in Nevada County. And so we wanted to capitalize on that with educational opportunities, getting students involved really informally in planting native species, pulling out non-natives, and just getting an opportunity to get outside, get their feet wet, and learn about their place.
Right. Yeah. What can you tell us about this new project that we've been hearing about, and what it is, and how does it impact the schools? And of course, we're excited to hear how it impacts all the students.
Yeah, so we, over the summer, we learned that we had won a National Science Foundation grant with partners, Center for Community and Citizen Science, Sierra Streams Institute, and Nevada County Superintendent of Schools. So really awesome partnership from the university level to the community-based organization level to the County Office of Education. So I think we're hitting a lot of bases with this project. It's called Youth Community Science and Action in Our Forest, which is a mouthful. So you can just say Our Forest.
Our Forest.
Our
That's
Forest.
Good.
Okay.
And the idea is to get students outside collecting citizen science data on forest health and on fuels. And so it's a very timely project.
Absolutely.
Especially going through all of these power shutoffs that we see as necessary to protect from catastrophic wildfire.
Right.
And this is kind of getting students involved in that discussion by actually collecting data, using evidence, and sharing that with community partners. So the focus is with third through fifth grade students right now.
Okay, third through fifth. That's a lot of kids in the community. Hundreds, right?
it is, but, we're testing it out.
Oh, you're piloting.
We're not going to roll this whole thing out right away. We actually have an info night for partner teachers.
Okay.
who want to co-design the curriculum with us. So awesome. We're really excited to get these motivated partner teachers. We're looking for 7 of them, and we're going to be piloting the programs with them in the spring and then learning off of that and then kind of going back and iterating and really dialing in the curriculum.
Right, and I'm sure you're looking for the 3rd through 5th grade teachers or close to that.
Yeah.
For the science teachers. And, yeah, we've got some really dynamic teachers in our county, so I think it'll be hard to choose.
I know. Step up.
Yeah. Well, it will be, but then the great part is that, you know, 7 partner teachers, those are the ones that are, you know, that have the bandwidth and they really want to get involved. And then comes the rollout. So 15 participating teachers next fall,
okay.
With more participating mm-hmm. teachers the next year. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of like a building of the curriculum and the effort.
Right. Yeah. Building momentum.
Yeah. And we really see this as a community project. So it's a project for the community to learn about our local forests and to draw our young people, as Saul was saying, into that conversation. And so part of that is providing teachers with the supports in order to do this kind of instruction with their students. At the Center for Community and Citizen Science for the past 6 years or so, we have been studying these educational contexts where students are stepping outside into their local environments and doing scientific research on their communities. And mm-hmm. that's everything from understanding bird species diversity and abundance,
right.
or water quality, air quality, looking at land use and doing aerial mapping projects. So from these past youth-focused community and citizen science projects, we've really learned, you know, what is required to support teachers in this kind of instruction, to really get these exciting learning outcomes, where students really see themselves as having expertise in their community and the tools needed or a platform to speak up about the changes that they would like to make in their community. Mm-hmm. So for the teachers that are out there, we are excited to work collaboratively with you and to provide supports.
Yeah. Well, I think as a former science teacher, I know my best lessons weren't the ones that were in the classroom when everybody was listening to me. It was the ones when we went outside and we really looked at or did some experiments outside. And yeah, by far. So that's what I love about this program. It's getting the kids out there. They're the center of that, which is wonderful, which is kind of, you know, as I was looking, reading through it, the program and the project and the kind of thinking of the end goal, what you're hoping to achieve at the end of this. And I think one of those would certainly be, you know, student-centered classrooms and the kids getting out there and they're becoming the scientists. But is that really the main thrust of it, or what else are you looking to do?
Yeah, I think we're working at multiple levels here. You know, we're in the individual classroom, just trying to engage students in the outdoors and find out what works with this type of science curriculum, this type of data collection. So it's kind of a lot of many years of work kind of coming together is the way I see it from working in education with Sierra Streams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the goals is to create environmental learning zones within walking distance of schools, so that, you know, it's not a field trip where you go to a place and it's a one and done field trip.
Right.
It's a site that you go out there, you can continue to use those areas.
Yeah.
And so teachers can kind of continue to bring them out there.
Yeah, I really like that idea, because
so
you know, when you go to, if there's budget cutbacks, oh, yeah. or the time it takes and the cost to get a bus or organize drivers to go out to a site, the ability to have it on or next to a campus you know, and looking at all our campuses, that's amazing. So it'll always be there. I love that piece of it.
And also just being able to see and recognize the different season changes and what happens in each. It's so powerful for kids to see that. When I was a third grade teacher, we had an outdoor classroom and the Tribute Trail was really close. And, you know, I would have loved to have all the scaffolding and support because I don't really know too much more than just what my personal knowledge is. So this is going to be an incredible thing for the teachers and, of course, for the children that are in those classes. That's really amazing.
Yeah, and I'd like to think that we came up with the idea, but...
nobody knows you didn't, so just you can stop there.
Yeah. If
you want. No, but Plumas County Office of Education, they have a partnership with the Land Trust where they have either purchased or made MOUs with with property or land managers within walking distance of schools, and they have outdoor classrooms for every single grade, for every single school in Plumas County.
Wow.
It's a little smaller than Nevada County.
A little smaller,
And Rob Wade, who's kind of led the charge for that, has really kind of inspired me to, you know, to look at, you know, what that could mean in Nevada County. And then maybe I'll let Aaron speak about broader impacts of what this project could lead to.
Yeah, thanks, Saul. Let's see. Yeah, I'm thinking about what you were sharing, Saul, about Plumas County. And it's really exciting to see the changes that are happening in the field of education. With the next generation science standards, there's this big shift in how science is being taught. It's not just the focus on science content knowledge, but the practices, the scientific practices of meaning making and knowledge production and asking questions and investigating. So, you know, we are wanting to understand how to really support students in those kind of critical thinking, meaning-making practices, and in a way that's relevant and important to them. So situating this learning, you know, in their backyard, so to speak, in their broader community, creates a context in which, you know, hopefully students care about what it is that they are studying. And also they already have a lot of expertise because this is their community.
Right.
Also with the, let me think of the name, environmental principles and concepts that are adopted in California and that now are mandated by law to be included in our curriculum and textbooks. Those standards are really focused on students learning about human relationships with the environment.
Right.
So as an educational researcher and at the Center for Community and Citizen Science, we're really trying to understand how community and citizen science can help meet these various educational goals that we're seeing in California and nationwide so that we can develop a model that can be used elsewhere.
Yeah. So really cutting edge what you're doing here.
We believe so.
Yeah.
And grateful to have the community partnerships so that we can do this work with a lot of support and mutual goals.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the power of partnership.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
what I believe.
That's what we do good in Nevada County.
We do. Saying yes and
we're all small,
taking
but together
along.
We're quite mighty.
Exactly. It's true.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming this is a multi-year program then. Maybe just tell us how that's going to roll out.
I know a second year cohort, so
This is the duration of the grant is 4 years.
Oh, okay.
As you mentioned, this is our pilot year. So we're testing out our ecological data protocols, our curriculum, and we're also really thinking about how to build the foundation of this project in such a way that it can continue beyond the duration of the grant here in Nevada County, but then also for other districts or schools that are interested in doing this kind of forest monitoring work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, it's going to build momentum and then probably will just sustain itself and then begin to expand in different arenas. Sounds great.
Nice. Well, I want to go back to what you've mentioned a couple of times, the citizen scientist being the students. And I really like that idea. I like the term, and I know it's a term you use at Sierra Streams, and I've heard it there. But, you know, what do you, can we talk about that a little more? What exactly, you know, you touched on it before, the kids are doing and seeing themselves as the scientist, not just as the student, which is what is really powerful about this project.
Yeah. I like to think of it as, you know, if you're a student in a classroom, and just like with the previous standards, it was kind of like rote memorization. Mm-hmm. It was just memorize these scientific principles, right. Everything on the surface, no depth to it. And then there's a deeper level of like, okay, hands-on science, you know, that's a little deeper, or project-based science where you're like, okay, we're really going to dive into photosynthesis, mm-hmm. and we're going to grow plants in the garden, and right. you know, we're going to do these sorts of things. And then I think kind of at the peak in some regards, as far as our organization is concerned, is students or local citizens collecting data that's viable, that can be used by researchers, and not only be used by researchers, but can be used by them as well to mm-hmm. share information about our natural resources in this circumstance. There's a lot of different kinds of citizen science that Aaron can speak to more on a global scale. But on that local scale is getting students to be collecting data that matters to maybe local administrators of the school, collecting mm-hmm. fuels data to say, well, actually, we're at risk here, mm-hmm. and maybe we should be talking to local landowners about some fuels reduction projects.
Right.
And then balancing that out with, okay, but maybe a clear cut in the name of fuels reduction might not be the best idea.
Right.
So let's have that health as a balance.
Uh-huh.
And to get students to be collecting data that's comparable. So students at Deer Creek Elementary can be comparing data that's collected at Scotton School that's being collected at Nevada City School of the Arts.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be kind of comparing data across sites and sharing that information.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
For them and the kind of microclimates they've got going and the differences. You know, there's so much variance in our county between Penn Valley and South County and then coming up to Nevada City and mm-hmm. Grizzly Hill area and then down the little town of Washington at the school. So I think that's exciting in sharing that data, what they find.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, yeah, I really like that, the citizen scientist as a student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else about that citizen science thing as a global level? Because
yeah.
I'm anxious to hear.
Yeah.
We could be here all week.
We could be here all week.
I know. You might have to stop me. Terms matter. And in academia, there are a lot of conversations about what citizen science is and what community science is.
Okay.
And I think for our purposes, these terms really matter because there can be very different learning outcomes based off of how these citizen science, community science projects are organized. Typically with a citizen science project, members of the public, including students, are submitting data to large databases.
Okay.
So students, third and fourth grade students that I've worked with previously, were studying bird species diversity and abundance on their school campus. And they were submitting those data to Cornell Lab of Ornithology's Citizen Science Project eBird. Mm. And this is really exciting.
That's a mouthful too. Boy, wow.
She said it so well.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't mean to sidetrack you there. Yeah, sorry, Erin.
It's good.
I was like, wow.
It's good. I know. Here, well, the academic side comes out. So what's exciting about these databases is that they're public. So anybody can get on the eBird website, and if they're curious about migratory patterns, if they're curious about the birds that are in their local community, if they're curious about how bird populations have changed over years, all of that information is available to the public. So
great.
All of a sudden, science, which historically has been rather elitist, is now mm-hmm. available to people.
To everybody, right. That's great.
community science maybe takes it a step further in that the questions that are being asked, the scientific questions that are being asked, are based off of what the community cares about. So an example that people might be familiar with is Flint, Michigan, and the lead contamination. So what really brought up that issue to the surface was members of the public submitting samples of water to scientists who were not part of the city and who were able to really show that there were unsafe levels of lead in their drinking water. So a lot of the work that we do and for educational purposes is kind of at the center of these two different types of public participatory science projects, where yes, we're sharing these data with the larger public. There's a culture of sharing data, open source, but also we're really using these data for our own community purposes.
Right, and the kids can apply it, and I love the idea that they are able to collaborate with all the community ecosystems or whatever, you know, facets they'll be studying, so that they can see that there's a variety, but also there might be issues in some areas and not others. It just gives that great attention to discussion.
Yes.
So
I was wondering if Scott could give us some kind of context for science in Nevada County right now, and just kind of how this partnership fits in with kind of
what's the tables. Wow, okay, I had the questions for you guys, not for me.
Well, you are the superintendent
of
schools.
How it fits in? I you know, when you first came to us, this was just a great idea, and I know we were kind of we really didn't think we were going to get it this time. And most of these grants, you go out, you don't get it. And it was like, wow, we got it.
Yeah.
And that was so exciting. But the ability to bring this in while we're bringing the next generation science standards in, it just dovetails perfectly. And I think, you know, all the science teachers know, like I mentioned earlier, when you got your kids outside, that's where the real love of science kicks in and that lifelong learner. And this was a perfect opportunity to infuse that. And I know the science teachers, they're going to run with this. I know the high school science teachers are going to love that we're doing this in the third through fifth grade. I think first through second are going to be jealous.
They're going to be bummed.
I think it'll work its way down in some capacity that way. I also think, you know, it's going to carry on sixth, seventh, and eighth grades. So I really see it taking off and moving beyond the 4 years that this grant follows through, and then looking at other opportunities where, you know, we're talking of hiring our part-time science instructor, and then the talk of could that be a full-time science instructor in the future, gathering more funds for that, to make that happen. I just think it's very exciting right now, and couldn't be at a better time.
Right.
And just to piggyback on that, the whole fire safety and what we're going through is so environmentally on everybody's minds, even children. When I worked with my kids today, they were talking about what's happening with our forests, what's happening with PG&E. So it's on everybody's minds. And so my question was, maybe you could talk about your focus on forest health.
Yeah, and how did you pick it?
Yeah, how did you get there? I mean, obviously that's pretty obvious, but
I'm guessing it wasn't sheer luck.
Well, I mean, it was timely when we wrote it, and it continues to be more and more timely because of just the, you know, the vast impacts that fire and now the threat of fire is having on our communities, is having on our businesses across the state on such a kind of comprehensive level.
Again,
multiple levels, getting students outside, getting students learning about their local forests, you know, on the basic level, like what plants and animals are, you know, that are in our environment. That's always been really timely for us
for
as a watershed organization.
Mm-hmm.
But now to have these, you know, really significant issues affecting us on a daily basis, it's an opportunity to address it, and it's an opportunity for students to start to address it and maybe feel like they have a little bit more say or control over these really major issues that
taking place
impact
them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Aaron.
And California has evolved with fire. So I feel like also part of this is understanding how do we come back into a healthy relationship with fire and understand it as part of our ecology. But we are part of that as well. So how do we protect our community and our family and our resources, our infrastructure, when we live in a forest community?
Yeah, and the more we grow, the more we infringe on that. And yeah, the more it opens for potential catastrophic fire in our area. So yeah, so it's timely. And then maybe we're creating the next generation of forest managers as they look at that, you know, and you get this group coming through of it.
Right.
Looking at the forest, I grew up, I know fire was bad. And Aaron, as you mentioned, we did not. It wasn't part of what we dealt with. I think every little fire, you put it out no matter what. And now we've realized that wasn't a good plan. It seemed like it at the time, but boy, you look in some places and once fires get going, you can't stop them anymore. So, yeah. And I want to get back. I know we've only got a couple of minutes, but, you know, back to the how big a deal this was to get this grant, because I think it was a big deal. And when you called me to tell me you got the grant, and you know, full disclosure for our listeners that, you know, 90% is at the other, 95% at the other end of the mics, the other side here that put this together, I thought it was a tremendously big deal. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, congratulations.
You know, it is. Kudos to both of you. This is amazing.
We're still celebrating. We're going to continue to celebrate throughout the duration of this grant. It's such an honor to have a federally funded program here in Nevada County, and to have this partnership between environmental science, environmental education organization, a major university, and an entire county.
Yeah, and this, all the schools together.
Yes.
And also the community partners.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
yeah, who else?
So, you know, we're looking at City of Nevada City, City of Grass Valley, State Parks, specifically Empire Mine.
Great.
You know, these different folks that are managing the landscapes around our schools and in our communities. And, you know, they're struggling with these issues just as much as everyone else is. And so maybe we can be giving them a boost as well by collecting this information.
Yeah. All right. Well, with the sound of the music, you know what that means. Well,
I think
Aaron,
we should have them back. What do you think, Scott?
We want to thank you. And I think afterwards, we need to have them back to see how it's going after we get the program rolling. Maybe at the beginning of next year, we've got the first cohort. So